You know, each track has a variety of subjects rather than focusing on a single topic or issue. And one of the reasons that we do that is we want to produce, by God's grace, well-rounded counselors. But then when we think about Tuesday evening and Thursday evening, we usually like to couple them together. And sometimes we like to couple them around encouragement. And that is, we want you to be able to sit back and relax and be encouraged and to enjoy the fact that we are on the most engaging fight on the planet. Cheerleading sessions for a passion for Christ that doesn't ever give up. I know I was talking to my adult Bible fellowship just a few weeks ago, and I was talking about what we were going to be doing this week, and I was reminded of one of the pastors who came a couple of years ago and then sent us a note about it. And as I was sharing it, I just completely lost it. I mean, absolutely lost it. So I'm like sobbing in front of our ABF as I was recounting this story. A pastor came a couple years ago, and here's what he had said. I was ready to quit the ministry. I came as a bruised reed, discouraged in ministry, discouraged in my walk with the Lord. I did not think I could go one more day. But I came to the conference because I had signed up for it. And I gathered with 2,000 other servants of Christ. And I spent a week just relishing in the cross of Christ and in the glories of His Word and my knowledge of God, His reality that He is sovereign and winning the war, and that, yes, Jesus is building His church and the gates of hell will not stand against it, was renewed in my heart and mind. And I went home and I put on the armor of God and I took my post. That's been one of our prayers for you. That by the time this week is over, that you would be encouraged in your walk with Christ. And that you would get ready to get back in the fight, and you would relish the opportunity to be able to talk with a Cassie or with a Ben and say, boy, I would really love to be a part of that. If you've seen the topics, this one's not going to be like that. What we did this year was we decided to bring together two very heavy, hard subject matters that we thought would be beneficial for all of you, in part because they've been issues that have been relevant and alive in our own ministry. And I once pastored in a small church in a small town, and one of the most difficult parts and really the most discouraging aspects of it is that you can feel very alone. And instead of walking down the hall to one of your pastor friends to discuss a particular issue or to relate to how are we going to handle this or how are we going to think about this, you don't have that opportunity. So we thought, why don't we do that during the conference? We will be your team of pastors who come along, not to tell you what to do, but to be your friends. And to give you the opportunity to at least walk into some of our conversations and to see the results of those conversations, and maybe those would be a benefit or an encouragement to you. So my task is the first one, to deal with this issue of divorce, and Pastor Byers is going to talk about the issue of abuse. And this year we wrote a position paper, and it's in your notebook, about how we were going to function regarding questions of divorce in our ministry. And the reason that we gave it to you was not for you to simply say, well, this is what we have to do. Not that you have to agree with us. But we gave it as something that we thought you could take and make it better for your own ministry. Something that you could take as a resource for you and for your future as you wrestle with some of these same issues and discussions that are so difficult to put into practice. And I just like to pray and ask God to help us in our time. Lord, whenever we talk about the subject of divorce, it's hard. Because we understand that it impacts a whole host, a whole community when that occurs. And Lord, we also know that we are in a battle. And when we hear about the things that are happening in the lives of some people, we struggle with how to respond to it. And so, Lord, I pray that our time would be encouraging, at least in this area, that it's an opportunity to think about the subject, maybe even have a little help on how to deal with it back in our own ministries. And Lord, we ask for your help in that. But we also want to thank you for the gift of marriage. And we want to thank you for the blessing that you decided to give to us, that we could have a life partner in order to celebrate all the successes that you allow us to have, as well as to endure the hardships that we are going to face. And so we ask that you would help us as we bring the truth of your word to this, and also how it could apply in a church, so that we might be more equipped to handle these really difficult subjects. In Christ's name, amen. I want to explain how we came up with the paper that we've given you. Pastor Virus formed a study group of pastors and other church leaders, and we were to gather once a month or so over a series of months, and we had work to do in preparation for that. And so what we wanted to do to begin with was we wanted to construct a biblical position of divorce and remarriage. That's what we wanted to have when we were done, so that we as a body could seek to apply that appropriately to the various questions that we were being asked. Now, there are some process concerns for that. We had to dig into the Bible. We had to think about how the Bible discusses this issue. And part of the challenge is that we have a lot of text to deal with, both in the New Testament and in the Old. And part of the challenge was we had to determine what was going to apply to what. It wasn't simply open our Bibles to one single passage of Scripture and then off we go. And so here were a series of concerns that we were thinking about as we were working through various texts. One was the role of antecedent theology. You say, antecedent what? And here's what that means. We don't expect the biblical authors to tell us everything about their position in each passage. Instead, they draw on teaching and they apply it to a given situation. For example, I once submitted a paper topic to one of my professors that I wanted to write on the fear of the Lord in Proverbs. The professor said, fine, go ahead and do it. And as I started getting into it, I realized I had a problem, and that was Solomon never defined the fear of the Lord. He was relying on me to already have an understanding of it, which then would be applied throughout the book of Proverbs. So I had two choices, either change my paper topic to what does the book of Proverbs say about the implications of the fear of the Lord, or I had to go back to Genesis to Deuteronomy to define what it is. That kind of thing happens all over the Bible. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3, we're told this. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And one of the questions that we are asking ourselves is, what does Jesus mean by if he repents? Is he trying to draw my attention to all of the Old Testament scriptures that describe a confession or repentance from God's people? Is it simply mouthing the words, I repent? What is it? Then we have the issue of the role of context. Role of context. So here we are looking at the various ways in which some authors use prior authors in order to form their overall position, and then we have the context itself. Again, a single passage doesn't say everything. And so what if we place more emphasis on a passage than it was designed to bear? Then what happens? What happens if Mark 10, which is the classic passage that doesn't include an exception, doesn't address the concerned pastor trying to figure out the issue of divorce and remarriage, but rather is addressing a snarky group of Pharisees who want the freedom to treat their wives any way they want, including the way they treat their parents. You say, what is that all about? Remember Mark 7? When Jesus challenges them and he says, what you do is you disobey, you nullify the word of God because you declare your possessions Corban.